this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Awesome to have you here. It's awesome to be here. It's a privilege to be here. And y'all, please pray for us in Sukuna. God is so good to us, but if you have us on your heart, please ask for Sukuna also on our behalf. That will be amazing. Can I ask you for a second just to close your eyes? And I want to get my water on the stage, but I want to ask you to pray for me for a moment while I get my water, please. Thank you, Lord, that this morning you are here in our midst. So gentle. So kind, and your communication to us so clear. And thank you, Lord, that your voice of conviction is a voice that brings near. It doesn't push away. And this morning, Lord, maybe there's not just different voices in our heart, different emotions. Everything that pushes away is not from you, Lord. That's condemnation. Every voice, every leading, every thought or emotion that brings near, that's you, Lord. And so draw us near this morning in your beautiful ways, Lord. And I pray, Father, just that you'll give something to everyone here this morning, including myself, Lord. We praise your name. Amen. The great thing about, let me just say this before I'm going to try and be very fast and I'll explain why I need to speed this up. But I just want to say, you've got a very capable and amazing pastor. I just want to say, I cannot do what Philip does. He's on a plane here, he's on a bus there, he's with someone here, he drives there, and then the church grows and flourishes. I don't know how he does that. So, Philip, I just want to honor you. We look up to you. Yeah. And also for Yonetta. We must pray for Philip and Yonetta because they are moving at such an awesome speed. And you guys are healthy. You're growing. And we were here with planted with a lot of people from Sukuna. And they just loved it. Two of them came back this morning with me to visit you. So thanks for keeping me company. And so Philip, we just bless you from that side. And thank you also for what you're sowing into us in terms of leadership. Weekly we speak. And Philip helps us. And he comes and preaches that side. So that's amazing. If it was not for this church sowing financially in the beginning and leadership and everything, we would not exist. So thanks for that. What's amazing about functioning in a region is we get to see Philip and Alistair and I get to come and say hi here every now and then. What's cool about this is there's times when we really work hard to bring a certain message across in our congregation. It takes time and prayer. And then Philip might be working on something different, and he puts in all that time as well. And so when he comes to us, he can bring something he's been working on for a very long time and that you guys have caught, and then he can come and impart it to us. And that's what I want to do this morning. We took 4 weeks, and we spoke through hearing God's voice very slowly, very thoroughly from the beginning to the end. And I'm just going to drop one sermon on you this morning, combining what we did. I just want to paint you up. I was specifically, I put on there part two, because this was not where we started. If you want more on this, you can get it. It's on the website if you want to listen through it on your bicycle, on your way to work or whatever. We started with, how do you hear God's voice? What is the ways in which communication comes from God? That was basically our first sermon. I'm just giving you a background. We're not doing that this morning. Okay. How do you hear? What is the ways? If you feel something on your heart, or there's an internal voice, or there's a dream, or there's a vision, how does it work? Then we moved on to, how do you test the data? Okay? How do you test what you hear to say, okay, this is from God, this is good, I'm not sure about this, this is definitely not from God. How do you take what comes at you? Because we are sponges for information. That's why marketing is what it is. That's why the world is set up the way it is. It generates within us desires. It casts vision for us and asks us to buy in. It just comes at us at a speed. And in between that, there's God. There's the Holy Spirit talking, helping, leading. what is from God, what is not. Who's had this? Who's thought about this like before? Is this really you, Lord, talking to me? Or is this the devil? Okay? Or is this some kind of tape that plays in my mind because my mom used to repeat this over and over and over? Okay? Who is this? Is this last night's pizza that was a bit off that's speaking to me right now? Okay? What's going on in my heart? And I want to give you tonight four things to test the data. All right? We did a bit more. We split it in two sermons, three each. I'm going to try and get through four tonight. Is that okay with you? Or this morning? Awesome. Let's start. Isaiah 50 verse 10. I don't have a lot of time to make jokes, so please excuse me. Normally I waste too much time fooling around. I'm going to get into this, okay? Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. And just very quickly, this darkness that Isaiah is talking about is not, in a sense, spiritual darkness. Let him who walk in darkness, as in someone who walks without God. At this moment, he's speaking about someone who does not know which road to take. All right? Make sense? I just want to say this. There will be times in your life when you will not be sure what to do because you won't find the answer in the Bible. In Secunda, okay, you can basically just call our town Cecil. We are there because of Cecil. But there was no Cecil in the Bible. All right. So let's say you send your CV in. Cecil say, yes, you've got a job, and you also got a job at FMB. Right, where must I work? Well, you can go and read Bible. I'm telling you, you're not going to get Cecil in the Bible and also not FMB. All right? So God, something needs to happen in your heart. The discernment of hearts and desires and God's voice needs to come. Does that make sense? So in one sense, you're in darkness. Okay? Let's go to the next verse. Behold all who kindle a fire, who equip yourself with burning torches. Walk by the light of your fire and by the torches that you have kindled. This you have from my hand, you shall lie down in torment. All right? Okay. Don't lose me here. What God is saying is the man that trusts in himself, that lights a light for himself, all right, that lays a road out for himself. I know, I'm a self-made man. I know what I want to do. It never ends well. It may seem like the right way. That everything looks good. This is going to work out like this, and that share is going to grow, and then I'm going to sell it there, and this is what I'm going to do. It never ends well. Okay? But what God is saying is he's okay with you. If you're an on fire spiritual believer, you worship, you prophesy, you're the whole work. You're at intercession, you fast every month. Let me tell you what, there will be times when you won't know what to do. Done. It's the truth. Let that man trust in the Lord and seek his face. Amen. That's all I want to say for now. This is what desire is telling us. You never upgrade to a place, and I will never upgrade. And the same with Philip or any pastor where we just know everything. If we claim that, we are lying. We don't. We make mistakes. We go into dead ends. God is okay with it. Let's call it darkness. But let that man trust in God. Amen? So we're talking about hearing his voice. Right, I want to go on. The sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Just putting a foundation here before we go into those four things. Quickly, Christ wants to take you somewhere. In your life. In your life. In your day. And he's walking in front, all right? Sometimes I think when I was, just before I really met God, I kind of thought that I could drag him along. Like, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to ask God to bless it. God is leading, okay? He's in front, and he doesn't put a chain around you. He leads with his voice, okay? So that's why we're talking about hearing his voice. Just three things on this, okay? He speaks. He says that. He speaks. And every one of you that's here, I want to tell you, he speaks to you. Maybe at this moment you experience it very hard to hear him, or you say, no, he's never spoken to me. He speaks to you, all right? Then I want to say, number two, follow him because he's taking you somewhere. Trust him, all right? And then I want to say there's also other voices speaking. Here it's called the strangers, calling to you, all right? The voice of the stranger, he's a stranger to you, but he knows your name because he calls you. Come this way, all right? Okay. So if we go to the next slide, just to, that's basically what we preach through in our first sermon. We're not going to do that today. God can talk to you through prophetic impressions in your heart, the voice of God, which is more than just one quick point, dreams and visions. And we went through that because to show you that God actually does speak to you. Sometimes it's just a feeling, all right? Sometimes God speaks to you through very natural means. And if you discover that, you will realize that he actually speaks to you quite a lot. It's actually so amazing. The big difference is often my awareness. Am I aware? Am I plugged in that he's actually been the whole day communicating to me? But that's not where we're going to go in this morning, all right? What we're going to do is you've caught a lot of rain in your bucket. You've heard a lot of things, a lot of emotions. Now we need to dissect what is from God, what not. Are you with me? Right, let's go on. Right. Before we head into this, like just and flat out, many people have been hurt by sentences that started like this and with good intentions. God told me. And then it goes. All right? And sometimes you deserve to be slapped. All right. For example, God told me that you must marry me. And you have no decision. Yes, I know I only met you just now, but really, really, he did, okay? If you hear that, ladies, just say, wow, that's amazing. Just wait a second. Take off your shoe and swing, all right? But what I want to say is, when you've known the Lord for a while and someone say, God told me this, you already have, you sifted for yourself as well. But young believers can get injured with this. And that's why someone that comes with a weird thing and starts a church there somewhere always gets a lot of young believers or people that hasn't been brought up to think for themselves. But we need to protect those people as well and make sure that we are not the ones that speak for God when we're not. Okay? So we want to make sure. That's all I want to say. Now, we are fragile as hearers. We are very fragile hearers. And I want to show you one example out of the Bible. Okay? Peter. Okay? Jesus asked him, who do men say I am? What is the opinion of the public? What's going on here? And he says, some say Elijah, some say a prophet. And he says, what do you say I am? Who do you guys say I am? And he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus is pleased with his statement. He affirms him, says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. In other words, you've heard from heaven. You've heard from a source that is not accessible by natural means. Flesh and blood did not. Facebook didn't give you that answer. Okay? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's something that connected with you from on high. 3 minutes later, what happens? Jesus says, you know what? The Son of Man must die. He will be crucified. And what does Peter say? Far be it from me. You will not happen. That terrible thing. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Same guy. Same situation. 3 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever apart. We are fragile as hearers. All right? So let's grow in the ability to say, Lord, help me to hear you clearly. And if I'm unsure, help me to just stop. Help me to wait it out for a day, for a week. Help me. What should I do? And we're going to jump into that right now. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from. What are spirits? Stuff that communicates to you. Feelings, emotions, thoughts, memories. Some of them good, some of them terrible. All right? constantly communicating, you're building pipelines of communication until you break it off. Okay, test it. Is this thing that's coming to me the last week, is this from God? Should I walk away from this? Or should I embrace this? All right. Number one, surprise, the Word of God. Test number one. Okay? But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. I don't know exactly what he's trying to say, but it doesn't sound good. Okay? Let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. And he repeats himself. All right? Now, oh, let's just do the next verse as well. For I am I now seeking the approval of man or God? Am I trying to please man? If I still were trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Now, God's word is eternal. It never changes and it stays the same. Stuff changes, okay? In the beginning, when this book was written, there was no projector and no mic, all right? No sound. It has changed, okay? It comes to us different. That's okay. It's not the issue, okay? A lot of churches around the world have believed that the state in which they present the gospel must be kept as pure as the gospel itself. That's not true. That's just stupid, okay? The world changes. The conduit to which the Word of God comes to us may change. It may be creative, but the Word that flows through it must stay the same always, all right? Does that make sense? Now, so people may say, you know what? Back then, people did this, but times have changed. Everyone does it. That's not good, okay? Even if everyone does it, if you know and you're understanding from what you learn in church, through foundations or relationship week or whatever, if you hear out of the word that God has your best at heart and this is the way to do it, don't change with the world, okay? Because you're going to lose, all right? The man who lights a fire for himself, I'm going to make my own plan here. Hey, I've got a good heart. I want to make my own plan. It doesn't end well. Can I give you an example? The Bible says we must pay our tax. Okay? It's there. God just helped us, specifically our South Africans. He put it there for us, okay? Because we're always fighting with tax, all right? So now I get a leading of the Spirit. No, Werner, you should hold back your tax, all right, and give it to the poor. Is that God speaking? No. It sounds amazing. Yeah, because those guys, they're just going to waste it. It doesn't matter. Okay? God did not give that idea to me. All right? It was another spirit. Okay? Now, if I persist, all right, and I make a mistake, God is always there to redeem us, help us. But I must not say, no, God told me to do this, and now look where I end up. Okay? He never led me in that way. That's why it's so important to know God's word and let it be in your heart, all right? For the another example, the Bible says you don't work for PwC. You work for God, all right? So the labor that you put in, the way you work and the way you love there and the quality that you do it, it must say something about God. But now maybe you're thinking, listen, you don't know my manager. Okay? The Bible says you don't work for your manager, all right? He's an authority, you report to him, you actually work for God, all right? So don't just change your company because of your manager. Hear from God. If you must be there because you're working for God, endure. All right? Make sense? You work for God where you find yourself. So people say God said it, and I believe it, that settles it, right? But that's actually not right. It's God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. All right? If it's here in the Bible, hold on to it. All right? And put all the other stuff in the trash can. Comes at you. Everyone okay with that? All right, I'm going fast. Number two, will this make me more like Jesus? Now, I do want to say this. When you get a leading in your heart from the Spirit, you need to pass all these tests. Okay? You can't say, no, it's a 50% pass. Okay? Test number one and test number four, I'm okay. The other two, I failed, but that I'm going to go with that. Now, you must be able to, with all these tests, say, I can see God in all of them. All right? And then you can actually move with faith. Okay? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's a long list. Against such things, there is no law. Okay. In your life, I want you to understand this. This is, people who get this, they do very well. The road on which God leads you is not always the easiest road. All right? So don't make your decisions on only what is easier. Because you are here to become more like Jesus. This is what this test is. Is this making me more like Jesus? Okay, let me just give a small example. Who's in a small group here? Almost everyone. So some of you are thinking right now, yeah, I'm a small group, but my small group sucks. Okay? Hopefully not. Okay? Have you met my small group leader? Oh, Enrico Fi, I've had enough. I want to go to another small group. Okay? So you go to your zone coach or whatever, and he says, no, please stay there. And you say, no, no, no. You don't understand the small group I'm in. They are from another planet. All right? Okay? Pick something off that list that you can grow in if you stay there. Okay? It's basically the whole list. Okay? By the way, everything, every single thing of the fruit of the Spirit has got to do with relationships. And that's the most difficult thing. That's often the thing that makes us change lanes, change companies, change boyfriends, whatever. All right? The fruit of the Spirit is to help us grow more like Christ. The easiest road for you is not always the right road for you. Okay? The right road is the one that's going to make you more like Christ after you endured what's in front of you. Okay? If you get this, this point, you'll make a very good church planter. Who wants to plant churches here? You guys have got like planted and supplanted. You already planted the church, Philip. You can't put up your hand. Because if you don't understand this, you will have trouble. Because when you go to the church and there is one person playing the guitar, right? One singing or trying to sing, one on the projector, and it's not nice. It's easier to go to another church. But now God has led you to plant because He needs more churches. You know, in Sekunda, in the beginning I felt guilty going there. We discovered now if there's another 80 churches that can each seat 1,000 people on a Sunday, then we have reached the town. The world is unreached. Okay, I don't want to go into that. That's for planted. The easiest road is not always the right road. Will this make me more like Jesus? Why are you still here? Why are you working at your company? Why are you in that small group? Why are you in the band? Okay? Yeah, but it's hard work. You know what? You're becoming more like Christ. Hold on to it. I think I had, some of you maybe up to now thought you had a word to take a break and rest a bit or to move. And maybe now you've realized it's not a word from God. It's a word from your own heart. All right? Might be that God is speaking to you, just hold on. Hear Him clearly, and then move in faith. Amen? Awesome. Second Corinthians 10 verse 5, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive. Okay, listen, I like to bash Seven the Lawn. Sorry. I know you're a church that loves Seven the Lawn and everyone watches. Yes. Don't hide it now. Okay. You know this. Who's heard this line before? Opal that I know, I think 10 years ago when I was in school, he was on 7th and 9th. He's probably still there. I don't know how many wives he's had in 7th and 9th, but it's quite a few. Because you know what? His heart led him to a different woman. That's he said, I can't help. I fell in love. It's just my heart. It's junk, okay? What's going to make you more like Christ is to figure out the situation you're in, God has placed you in, and become victorious. So you take thoughts, authority over your thoughts. They don't rule you. They don't reign you. So sometimes our insecurity speaks to us, our fears, and we say that is the word of God coming to me. It's not, all right? Because it's taking you out of the situation where God wants you to be victorious, all right? And that's why you need good friends. We'll get to that as well. But I think you get what I'm trying to say here. Find out from God. Why are they? The moment you've made a peace with that small group, and no one complained with me about a small group, so please don't feel insecure if you're a small group leader. Your small groups are all great, okay? But if that's you in that small group situation, once you've discovered God actually wants to work with me here, you'll go back with faith, and you're going to start to enjoy small group, okay? Whatever we do, we must do out of faith, out of a conviction. Amen? Now, I've just got two subsections with point number two. 2.1, if you have your notebook here, you can mark like that. Will this hurt anyone else? Okay, we're talking about being more like Christ, all right? Okay, so Philip, he does something terrible to me, all right? I don't know, he trips my wife in public. Okay, okay, and I've heard about it the day after, and I think, listen, I'm going to get this guy back. I'm going to get him good, and he's not even going to see it coming. When he's going to be so unaware, and you know what, he will, and I'm going to film it, and I'm going to put it on YouTube, okay? Was it right for Philip to trip my wife? No. What's happening in my heart is not God. Listen, I'm playing with humor here. You know what I'm talking about. All right, that person at work, you just, okay? I want to be more like Christ. So what he does is one thing, and how I need to handle the situation, I must ask from God, but I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to hear from him how to handle the situation. Is it going to hurt anyone else? You know what that person did to me? You don't even know what he did to me. If it had happened to you, you will act the same way. Hey, I don't know what you've been through. Okay, especially when it comes to people, it hurts the deepest. But I know you have grace to follow Christ for what happened in your life. So you're right, I don't know how I would handle it. And maybe I won't be able to because I'm not you. But where you are, where you find yourself, you have the grace to be more like Christ. I don't care what that person did. You want to be more like Jesus. So that voice that's ministering to you, something in the line that will humiliate someone, hurt someone, it's taking space in your heart and it's actually stealing from you. Close that pipe in the trash can that's not from God. It does not mean you can go to someone and say, listen, I want to be honest with you. What happened there, that's not ideal. And if it happens again, we're going to have problems. But I respect you as a person and you walk away and you've honored God. There's times for that. All right? But hear God's voice. A lot of us sit, a lot of the time, it takes a capacity in our heart, anger, regret, okay, vengeance. Not like in the movies you're going to kill someone, but you harbor it in your heart. It's taking up space of your functioning ability, all right? Put it in the trash can. Because you know what? God's going to put other stuff in you that's going to make you joyful, all right? Another one. I first thought this is all, this is like what girls do, but I realize now guys do this as well. Okay, so Philip hurts me. We're in church. Not such a terrible example like just now. He just said something. We're in the same church, and he said, yo, that is, you made a mistake. And I'm like, oh, why can you say that? And so I think, okay, I want to be Christ-like. I'm not going to do anything, but I'm just going to ignore him. I'm just going to ignore him and his wife because they won. Okay, okay. That's how I'm going to deal with it. He's not there. If he sits this side in church, I'm going to sit that side, because you know what she said about me in small group. I cannot sit even in the same row. If I know she comes to the 4 o'clock service, I'll come 6 o'clock. It's not God. All right? Why? Jesus is the bridge builder, not bridge burner. Okay? So you go to your brother, you go to your sister. Why? Even if they were wrong, what do you want to do? You want to become more like Christ. You don't want the situation to favor you. You don't even want it to be fair. You just want to become more like Christ. That's not God's voice speaking to you, dodging that person. Go to them. Amen? Figure it out. Number 2, is this serving God or me? Same point, will make me more like Jesus. And just a little note there, watch out for selfish ambition. Okay? The devil loves. Listen, you guys are too smart for him to get you to love him, the devil, right? But he can, if he works smart, get you to love yourself too much, which means you become self-serving, right? When you become self-serving, little stuff in your life, systematically you set up for yourself, it always steals from you. I'm not going to go into that. It steals from you. I don't know how to put it, but it's just true, okay? Because we are created by God to express glory to him. That's why Christians are the happiest people. You are just created that way. Done. That's just how it works. If you take glory that was designed to go to God and it goes to me, I think I'm going to be happy if I just do that to my hair and get into that car and play that song. Roll the window down, pump it, and go down the street. Okay? Okay? Sorry, guys. I like having fun here, so just sit back and relax. But the problem is, the more you serve yourself, the more you have a need to serve yourself, and that never, never gets satisfied. Thousands of rands later, relationships later, time wasted. So be smart. Is it serving God in me? This thing I'm hearing, I'm dwelling on it, I'm thinking about it, I'm dreaming about it. When I'm in my bed, I'm thinking, I'm putting that. Is that serving God on me? Be vicious with yourself and with that thing. If it's not serving God, cut it off. You are wasting precious space in your life, and it leads to regret. Self-serving goes in circles, and every now and then, there's regret. Oh, but then you get a new idea. Regret. It never gets there. Amen. Will it make me more like Jesus? What are you hearing in your heart? I hope some of you can write even down, oh, that thing I've been thinking about the whole week. Pratse uit, brand om oor die kers, wat ook al jy doen. All right? Just get rid of it. God doesn't give us self-serving thoughts, because we come up with plenty of them ourselves. Okay? That's in our sinful nature. And then suddenly when we start to turn to God, suddenly when we make those course corrections, this, you can't explain it, but hey, here's a joy. There's something happening here. There's something going on in my life here that's fresh. As soon as you course correct, you'll know that you've heard God right. Okay? By a joy that comes up, when we worship him, we are happier. Just how it works. The world cannot understand that. And we don't have to. You just created that way. You created to give glory to the one who deserves it. Amen? So, number 3, does my church family confirm? Alweer daai selgroep. Okay. You just can't get past that small group. Where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Without counsel, plans fail, but many advisors, they succeed. Listen, Solomon, I don't know how many times he said this. Go speak to the smart people. He says, he who walks with wise people become wise. He who walks with fools go to destruction. He says it in so many ways, in Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. He was the wisest man, and this is his advice. Go to people. go to other people and have a conversation with them. Okay? I'm not going to tell you who to go to and who not to go to. All right? But don't be stupid. Okay? If you want marriage advice, don't go to a single person that has just went through a breakup. Okay? Even if they hear a small group lead or something. Okay. You've got that down. Okay? You need to go to the right sources, but I'll leave that to you. I think you know who those people are. Okay? Now, Ephesians 3 verse 10. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God may be known. I worked through Ephesians last week and I just realized how much authority and how much responsibility is placed in the church to display God's glory. It's phenomenal. It's like he channels everything to the church. Look around you. This is a great church. You've got everything here. You've got the word preached. You've got these guys leading you in worship with broken guitars and strings and it still goes. Okay? But where's Michael? When your guitar went, I just knew God's going to do something today. And when you put it down, the worship just... Awesome, you guys. Let's give them a clap, hey? Yeah. You've got a great church family. You've got everything here to follow God and come to a place where what he has predestined for you. Now, God speaks to you, yes. And then he's kind, so he speaks to those around you as well. Because he wants to help you and make sure that you don't fall into a trap. But there's three reasons why people don't seek counsel. Or in your own case, there's three reasons, let's make it personal, why you won't go to your small group and say, hey guys, help me, this is what I think. There's your three reasons. The first one is you're new to the faith and you just don't know this. Okay? You're just used to a life of doing things your own way and it's not like you're ill-hearted, you just don't know it. Okay, that's fair, right? Number two, you're full of pride, all right? And you think, I will in any case do what I want to do when I want to do it. Watch out, all right? Even if there's a bit of that in your heart, even if you're not a pride person, but God wants you to grow, all right? Sort it out. Work on that thing. If it grows, pull it out. If it grows, pull it out. The last thing is this. You actually know that in the long run, this is a very bad decision, okay? So if you tell no one, there's no one to stop you. Let's be honest. Who's done that before? Come on. Let's be honest. Oh, there's only a few honest people in this room. But that is the truth. So you just think this thing is, it's easier to say sorry than to ask permission, all right? But you know what? When I make a bad decision, all right, you're not going to deal with the fruit of that decision. I'm going to deal. So I'm making it difficult for myself. Amen? You know, even I think I explained this the right way. Maybe we've got one more point. Even in a financial trust in South Africa, you should have an independent trustee. Is that still true, smart people? Do they still do that? You need an independent trustee. That is someone that cannot be a beneficiary. They can never get one single rand from your trust if it makes money. But they must be there to advise you. Sometimes the best people to give you advice, spiritual as well. Someone that's, if you want financial advice, go to someone who really loves you, but they're not involved with your finances. They cannot get anything out of this. They're going to give you the advice out of love. Because whether you take A or B, it doesn't make a matter to them. They just love you. All right? Is that okay to apply that principle? You guys get this? Awesome. Go to your church family. Do they confirm it? Right. Last one. Are you ready? Now, I said that at our church as well. I'm not talking about dress sizes and stuff like that. I'll get in big trouble. I'm talking about your spiritual shape, all right? I want to say this must probably be our scripture of the year so far. It's in every sermon, this thing comes up. Ephesians 2 verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Just say that. I am. created for good works. Okay. What this implies, okay, is there is certain things that you can do very well because we're all different, wonderfully and fearfully made. But I also want to say this. There is stuff that you won't do well. Sorry, Oprah is wrong. You cannot become anything you if you believe it. All right? It's not true. It's a lie. Okay? So I'm sorry. You can become everything that God prepared for you to be. It is a big difference. All right? Make sense? I cannot become a ballerina, even if it's my heart's desire, because I will suck at it. I am 100 kilograms. All right? My toes won't handle it. I'm not shaped for it physically, but I'm talking about a spiritual shape here. All right? Now, I need to say this before Philip gives me a lot of trouble here. You are not shaped to be a servant, okay, or not. I don't want to say this. You're not. Some people are not shaped to become like Christ and others not. We are all shaped to serve like Christ. We are all shaped to love, all right? Are we together on that? I'm not going to talk about that anymore. But in your walk with Christ, different things are going to happen through different of our lives. And the best people to help you with that is one point back, your church family. You might be on the verge of making one very important decision. And if you have people that really love you, they might say, whoa, this is not you. This is going to hurt you and your family. Yeah, but I want to do this. This is not who he made you to be. Let's be honest. We are glad we don't have a big roster where everyone takes a turn to lead worship, all right? Yeah, but I've got a beautiful heart. Yeah, you've got a beautiful heart, but you don't have the best voice. Sorry, okay? Now, I'm making a joke about it, but it is true, okay? If I would say, I can hold the note a bit, but if I would say, listen, I want to leave my job and pursue a career worship leader, it's a good thing. It's in the Bible, it's a good thing, okay? It's going to make me more like Christ. I think so. But it's not my shape. I am shaped to do what I'm doing now. I am shaped to lead a congregation from a pastoral role, from leadership role. So if I have good friends and I'm saying, I'm going to leave this town and take my wife and my boy, we're going to fly to America and I'm going to train to be a worship leader. That is, it's not your shape. It's not sin, but that's not who he made you to be. Does that make sense, guys? Okay, that's so important. And this is sometimes maybe the difficult one, because these are not sometimes bad things. But I want to say this, everything you like is not necessarily what you are shaped to do, okay? It might be that you are shaped to sing in the shower. Do it with all your heart, okay? Sing. Let it rip, okay? Just close the door and go for it. I'm just joking with you. But you know what? Before I finish off, I love it, but it may be wrong. You know those guys that go on idols, the wooden mic? Oh, man. It's, you know what it shows? If there's a question that comes in my heart, where's the friends? Where's your good friends? Okay, or do you do the thing where you don't go to them? All right, let's just quickly go on. Do you have friends that like sits there and like, oh, you'll do great. You know, that's not good friends, but they're prison singers, all right? Some of us, they're prison singers. They're always behind a few bars and they never have the right key, okay? But that is good for worship, okay? But I'm using it as an example because we all can relate to it. But I'm talking about natural stuff. If you suck with numbers, okay, don't leave your job to study to be an accountant. It's not wise. Okay? Yeah, but have you seen the amount of money those people make? Yeah, maybe. But it's not your shape. You're not good at it. You're good with kids. Okay? Stay where you are. Grow in that. Love God in it. I've seen you with the kids. When they see you, they love you. You dance in the lion suit and your thing, okay? That's your shape, okay? Good friends helps you with even stuff like that. And it may not sound spiritual. Should I study this? Should I leave my job? It's very spiritual. It's your future. It's the future of your wife and your kids. Does it fit your shape? But I want to just finish on this high note. You are His workmanship, all right? And what it means is He did shape you to do amazing stuff. So please, guys, don't lie awake and stress because you're not good at stuff that someone else is good at. You're not that person, okay? You are a different person. And when you find what He wants to do with you, you are going to flourish and change lives, okay? And sometimes we look in the other, but if you see how great that guy's with, pray for him, yes, that he will even become better. And then ask God, what am I good at? Amen? Last slide of the day, Revelations. You can stand up and we'll finish off. And He who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also He said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. I just want to say to you, don't you just want to close your eyes? I want to just pray a prayer over you before I hand over to Philip. And maybe you're standing here today with your eyes closed and you say, listen, I'm hearing this sermon 20 years too late, all right? Or 1 week too late. I just want to encourage you. He makes all things new. He makes all things new. And you may think, yeah, but Vanna, you don't know, if I only took that road, lift up your head. He makes all things new. Okay? Don't stress. Don't be worried about these things. Just take it to the Lord with a smile. Okay? A smile is always better than a frown. Take it to God and say, now work with me. Here I am. What is the wise thing for me to do now? This is where I am. All right? This is a fact. Don't deny the facts in your life. This did happen to me. I am in this situation. Lord, what is wise now? Father, I want to thank You for every heart here. And I want to just thank You for the ability to hear Your voice. I want to thank You that they are hearers of Your voice. Lovers of Your word. Lovers of Your people. I want to declare, Lord, that every person here is wonderfully and fearfully made. And everyone here, Lord, will find that place in Your kingdom where they flourish. And they are going to love as they discover who they are. And walk into that with more authority. More love. More sacrifice, Lord. Some of them, even if it's their shape, even if it's their calling, it will cost sacrifice. But I pray for the strength not to move when the heat comes up, but to endure and become more like Christ. Amen. I praise You, Lord, for this awesome congregation.
You move mountains when You speak. You give power to raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.